Don't be like the church world. Amen? Why? Because it sucks. You and everybody that comes to this place, the only reason this place is here is to be a light to the darkness around us. Amen? This is not supposed to be a church. We're not supposed to play church. We're not supposed to be like the other churches. We are supposed to be a city on top of a hill that has the light that the world needs. And I believe that everybody that comes from all over the country, whether they work in the kitchen, or whether they work in the sound studio, or whether they work in administration, should and must be out on the streets witnessing, because I don't believe God sent them here to play an instrument. I don't believe God sent them here to work in an office. I don't believe God sent them here to do all those things that everybody else is already doing. I believe God sent them here to learn how to make a difference in the world around them. Are you hearing me? And that's like I jacked one of my old disciples yesterday. Straight up jacked her. I just got right in her face and I told her, what the hell have you been doing lately? Right? If the TV camera's on, you're in. If there's a service going on, you're there. But what have you done lately for the kingdom of God? You got a job, you make money. But what would happen if we wouldn't have been here for you? You see, it's time to quit doing business as usual. It's time to just quit playing church. It's time for everybody, us and everybody else, to get out of our comfort zones. And it's time for all of us to learn about witnessing to the lost so that we might help those that would have help. Are you hearing me this morning? I want you to understand this, that I am going to press in this area. And I am going to do everything within my power. And, you know, I don't squawk much around here. I usually just do whatever. But I am going to press in, and I am going to get a campus-wide mandate that all people participate at some time during the week in a ministry-oriented type thing. You're not a minister if all you do is sit around in your closet and pray. You're a self-seeker. You're a I-wanna person. It's time to quit doing business like that. It's time for everybody to go out and win the lost. And so I want to read Romans 12. And, you know, I'm always telling everybody not to be like the world. Well, today I'm going to call it don't be like the church world. Father, I just ask you today, Lord, that as I give this Bible study called Don't Be Like the Church World, Lord, that people in this room listen. There are many people that have religion, God, but there are few people that feel purpose. There are many people that play church, God. But today, I want to talk about how we cannot do business as before, that we must do business as it was always meant. God, let it be today, this day, that each person in this room grabs a hold of this, because it is time to quit doing business as usual. And it's time to be the church that God would have us to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Help me, Lord. I'm going to talk about what Paul said. Now, how many people here believe that Paul was a man of God? An apostle. Somebody that God ordained to speak truth to us even today. I believe in all my heart that he left messages that we need to listen to. And the church for too long has done business as usual. They wait for people to come to them to get saved instead of going out to get them where they're hurting. It's time to quit doing these things. It's time to quit playing church. It's time to start fulfilling the real needs of the community by what the church is supposed to be. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What does that mean? It's time for you to quit worrying about baseball games. It's time for you to quit worrying about basketball games. It's time for you to quit worrying about sports. And it's time for you to pay attention to the fact that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and without you reaching out, they're not going to get the message. It's time for you to get out of your blessed assurances that are planted firmly on the pews. And it's time for you to get into the streets and be discomforted and be rebuked and be abused to some degree for the glory of God, so that you are indeed presenting yourself a living sacrifice unto God instead of just playing church as usual. Amen? And do not be conformed to this church world mind, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. God never planned for everybody to just go to church and hang out. God planned for the church to come together, to pray together, to be a part of one another, to strengthen one another, to go out and change the world. Amen. It is time to quit holding Christian yuppie parties. It is time to quit thinking you got anointing in your church just because your PA system makes your nose bleed. It is time to do the things that God would have you to do so that the presence of God will fall. Because God, by Himself empowering you, can save much more than the best PA system in the world. It's time to spend time on your knees. It's time to spend time in the Word. It's time to spend time begging God to empower you to do these things. It's time to fast. It's time to pray seriously for these kind of powers in your life. It's time to get out of your pity party. It's time to get out of your I wanna status. It's time to become the church that God wants us to be. It says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which only comes from the study of the Word of God and the truth that you care about people and learning how to work with people. Ministry is not an office job. Ministry is not getting together in the morning and holding hands with each other and praying for 10 minutes, listening to somebody that is at best inept at giving a Bible study, and lying to them and telling them they're doing good. It's time to quit going across the country looking for that one person that'll bring anointing into the church, when the reason why the church isn't anointed is because they ain't doing nothing. The best speakers in the world come to this place and bring their best brownie button seasons with them. You hear their very best here, and sometimes you find out that ain't very good at all. The fact is, the church is to bring edification to the body. It is to bring a strengthening to the body. It is to bring a teaching of truth to the body so that we might go out and change the world. It is not a place to have the biggest parties. It is a place where you come to bring together that community worship, to bring the power of God into your life, to anoint you to go out and to change the world. It's time that we change. It's time to quit doing business the same. It's time to quit hanging out on our blessed assurances. It's time to quit thinking that we've arrived. It's time to recognize that all our life, we should be about living our life as a living sacrifice to God. Amen? And what would God be doing? Oh, sure, He taught in the synagogue during certain hours. But where was He the rest of the time? On the streets. Amen? Oh, sure, He brought great words for people to listen to. But in fact, He always led them back to what? The streets. His biggest and best sermons weren't preached in the church. They were preached in the crowd. He mostly went to church to rebuke those with religion, to get them out of their seats and into the streets. Amen? People tell me that I speak harshly. Well, I read the words that Jesus wrote. He spoke pretty harshly inside the church. And He spoke very lovingly to those that did not know Him. Why? Once you're saved, get off your butt and get educated and learn the Word and quit crying about it. Don't tell me you can't. Just call yourself what you are as a person that's always quit. And get over it and learn not to quit no more. And learn what you need so that you can help to change the world. God has called you not to feel bad for yourself. You're saved. What about your aunts, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers that don't even know Jesus? How dare you throw a pity party when you already get to go and you ain't doing nothing to help anybody else go? Why is it that when we come off the street or when we come out of whatever, we want to go inside the church and shut the door and give everybody a shower or a bath before we let them in? Why is it that when we get saved, that all of a sudden we become self-righteous, better than others? And what part of God could that be? Why do we wear fancy suits? People don't want to even come up next to you if they're smelly. They know they smell. Amen? They know. People know when they stink. Right? So you are putting something between you and them. How about you just dress down and get down and dirty and real? How about you just look like everybody else that's around you and spread the love of Christ everywhere you go? How about you become relatable instead of high and falutin? How about you keep your stinking church lingo in the church and keep your street lingo in your mind when you're in the street? Oh, praise the Lord, brother. Why should they? It's quiet in here. I like it. We must be renewed in our church mind, in our church body, in the way we do business, in the priorities of life. I do not give a rip about money. Ask anybody, they'll confirm that truth. Money is something I use to talk to people. Money is something I use to do things I need to do. Money does not hold me in awe. God, Jesus does. Well, Dominic, you got to be a faithful steward, and I am. I take almost every dime I ever get, and I spend it on what I do. Do you save money? Nah, not really. Why not? Because there's so much to be done, and all the money is in building buildings. Putting glass in, carpet, making things pretty for people that are already saved, and there is no money left over to go out and reach those that are lost. Oh, believe me, I am very real. I've been living at church for 8 years. Do not tell me I don't love the church. I am the church. I am more churched than people I know that have been in church for 30, 40 years. Why? Because I live, eat, and breathe church every day of my life. I go to the meetings. There's lots of them, mostly about foo-foo. Not much about how are we really going to reach the city. Maybe about how to design a building. Maybe about how to do this or how to do that. Not much about the fact of how do we reach souls. When you try to reach souls, then you got to scrap to find money. But if I have something that'll make it look good to bring in more money, the idea is much received. I assure you, we need to be renewed in our church mind. Amen. Let's read a little further here what my man Paul has to say. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. I am very sober. I've been sober a long time. All the time that I've been in the church. I haven't relapsed. I've been busy. Doing what? Working with people. Scrapping to find money to work with people. Amen? My whole life is solely based on helping people. Have I built a church? You are the church. Am I pouring into you? So, I guess so. But have I built a building? No. Have I helped people do things they wanted to do in buildings? Yes. But buildings are not the church. The church is the people. You must spend your time pouring into people, not laboring inside a stinking building. I am here to tell you that there is something wrong with people that spend all their time about business and neglect God's business, even though they say that they're in God's business. I am convinced that I'll be in trouble after this. And in all honesty, I don't give a rip. I'm here to tell you, I love the people that I'm with today. That they are honorable men and women of God. But we are misguided and misdirected. And only God can change those things. But in this room, I will teach the truth. And the truth is, don't be about buildings and things. Be about souls. There's something wrong when people come from around the country and live on a campus and never witness to nobody. Oh, they go out on Saturday for 2 or 3 hours and pick up a little trash and feel like they've done something. But how many souls were saved that day? How many one-on-one witnessing events really went on? Usually it's the same people that do the witnessing and the rest of the people just kind of stay away from everything. We must, and that is the purpose of this place, teach people how to be a witness. We must take our size 9, put them in the butt of people, and kick them out the door and show them where the hurting are. Am I going to be in trouble? Maybe. Do I care? Absolutely not. I would rather be living on a ranch again, dealing with real hurts and pains, than deal with bureaucracy that stands between God and His people. Any day. You hear me? Do you think God could use me in the middle of the desert? Or in the middle of the city? Why? Because my heart, and the only people that are real ministers, are the ones that deal with people. A minister is not a certificate you hang on your wall. A minister is not the fact that you've been somewhere and got a degree. A minister is someone that was called and chosen by God to do a work. And any little labels that men put on them can be okay or not, but the calling is irrevocable. By man, because it's God who calls. Says, for I say through the grace given me not to, for everyone to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. I have faith that the work that God has started in me, God will complete. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are all a family. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. You that are in this room that do not go out and witness, that will not go out and witness, or just walk around, are not using the gift that God has given you. God has given you the gift of His Holy Spirit that you can use if you will make yourself open your lips and talk to people. A lot of people here go out on the streets with me because I make them, and they never say nothing but walk around. Or think about that burger they want to buy while they're going by McDonald's. Or maybe that ice cream that's in the store right there as they went by. They don't give a rip about people, even though, except for the grace of God, they wouldn't be here. It's time that you not be self-centered, but God-centered. It's time that we go about and do the things that God has ordained for us to do. It's time for you to get out of yourself and get into the misery of others, even though it's painful. I don't like it. I hear every horror story imaginable. But let them know that there is hope in who? God. Amen? Amen. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Tell the truth of the gospel as you know it to everybody you meet. Amen? Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. I'm a teacher. I teach. When? Every day. How many days? Every day. How many days? Every day. And all of you should be witnessing every day. You are a walking miracle. Why don't you tell somebody? Are you ashamed? Or are you just yet carnal and really not saved yet? He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. Let's talk about that for a minute. You're all supposed to be leaders. Are you diligent? You understand? Being a leader means that you are always ready. You are always there first. You are always in charge. And you are always about what you're supposed to do on a personal level. And you're always there where people need you on a business level. Amen? What does that mean? Assume your position. Every day, no matter what day it is. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. You know, when I tell you guys I love you, it's a real thing. But it's not really my love. It's the God that I have served that has given me love for everybody. Why can I love everybody even though they talk about me, whatever? It's simple. They talk about Jesus, but He loved everybody. And if you have God's love in you, then you have no problem loving everybody. Liking? I mean, some people I like more than others. Those are personal preferences. Amen? But really, it's nothing that I live my life by because I am busy about the works of God. And when you're busy about the works of God, you don't have a lot of time for personal preferences no more. I mean, I like people that love God. And I like people that love God the most. So if they don't love God, I still like them. I still love them. But I'm not going to go hang out with them. Do you understand? Right. Says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another. What does that mean? Quit having to have your own way. Most of the fights in the church happen over things that mean less than nothing. Color of the carpet. Where to put the entry. Who's in charge? I'm going to tell you the strongest one in God is the one that bends. You hear me? The one that doesn't care if they're out front. You know, I thought about this for a long time when I first got here. I had already made a decision that I will not elevate myself. Amen? I will let God elevate me to whatever position He wants me to be in. When I came to this place, when I walked into the office, I told them if they want me to be a plumber, I'll be a plumber. If they want me to just finish drywall or be a carpenter, I'll just finish drywall or be a carpenter. If you want me to be a floor care specialist, I'll be a floor care specialist. Because the only thing I knew for sure was that God sent me here. And yes, I kind of knew what God wanted me to do, of course, because I'd been doing it. But I did not care what I did. I cared that I was in God's will. Do you understand? Quit trying to make your own position. Let God assign you your position. Problem with the church is people will give you lots of money if you acknowledge them. Amen? People will do things if you pat them on the back. But we're supposed to do things because it's the right thing to do, not because of personal recognition of any kind, but because of Him who died for us. Amen? See, I think we should become the church that people come to learn how to be a church. Even though they may have been in church all their lives. Because I assure you, the church today is nothing like God left years ago. Nor is it what He meant for it to be. It's always supposed to be a world changer. Right? A church is supposed to change the world, not be worldly. Ah, yes. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What does that mean? Rejoicing in what you're doing. Rejoicing in hope, knowing that you are saved, that God will come. Patient in tribulation. Quit running away from your problems, just go through them. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. What does that mean? Praying always. Right? Distributing to the needs of the saints. Giving the hospitality. Invite people in. Come in. I don't care. Fill this place up. Fill up 10 of these places. I'll go get another one. God will always provide for the need of the people. You don't go get the building first. You fill what you got up with people, and God will always supply more. Why? Because God is in the people business. Amen? God is in the people business. He supplies the need of the people, not the desire of the building. If we struggle financially, sometimes it's because we're a little off course. Amen? All right. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. If you don't get your own way, don't cuss me out. Number one, I won't tolerate it. And number two, you need to grow up anyhow. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. How are you going to find the heart of Christ stuck in a stinking office somewhere? How are you going to learn how to minister to people when all you think about is your own little petty needs? How are you going to learn to communicate with people if you never leave the four walls of the church? You know, when I go downtown and I go by Condo Alley and I watch people living in boxes and stuff, I am very humbled at how grateful and merciful God is in my life. All of a sudden, my big problems, I can't do my New Testament survey. Shut up, do it. Amen? Quit your whining about the fact that you are finally being caused to grow in God. And embrace it and receive it because God's mercy and grace is upon you. Amen? And think, you can live in a box too. Most people in America are 3 or 4 house payments away of living on the streets. So there isn't no difference except for God has showed you grace and mercy. So get over your little pathetic problems. And get out there and minister to people that really have problems. You understand? Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. What does that mean? Be about good things always, so that when people are looking at you, they see good things in your life. I am not impressed. Let me be very, very honest with you. I am not impressed with probably 95% of the people on this campus. Now, I don't care if they're impressed with me. But even those that I poured into don't pour out no more. Some of my leaders have fallen by the wayside. Amen? They've gone to working in offices and stuff. You know, and sometimes I throw my own little pity party. And I sit there and go, God, look at this. How can this be? But I realize that they've fallen into the trap of the church mindset. You hear me? There is a church mindset that is that you have arrived, you need to be about this, and you forget what you were about and where you came from. God, I pray that there is not a day in my life where I am above witnessing to whoever I meet, high or low. Put me in those positions that will cause me to stay humble. I beg of you, Lord. Amen? Why? Because you see, the Bible says that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God daily. I don't want to be church as usual. I don't want to be in some kind of upper echelon of society. In the church. I don't want to be the one that everybody asks to go out to dinner with. I want to be the one that's making the difference for Jesus. And do I believe that in order to have great works that you've got to have great men and women and that there needs to be strategists and all that? Of course. And do I know that the higher up you move in ministry, that the more busy you become? Of course. But I do everything in my life to delegate my authority to different people so that I don't have to answer all the letters, so I don't have to sit in my office, so I don't have to do those things, so that I am available. There are some days that I spend 2 or 3 hours right out here on this blacktop talking to disillusioned people. People just walk up and I just stop and I talk to them. Because they need to be ministered to, because in this church, there are few people that actually minister. Amen? And they come and they're tore up and they're distraught and they're playing church and they're about church, but they are not living what they know they're supposed to be. And then you people sit there and look at me and you go, well, he never talks to me, but you are blessed that I pour into you twice a day, most every day of the week of the year. And I don't mean that it's me. I mean that I am pouring into you more truth, more word, more just speaking into your life than anywhere in America today. So if I don't sit there and treat you like you're wanting to be treated at the time, forgive me. But you get most of my time. You get more time in general as an overall than my wife. And I have other people that have needs too. If you stay here, you will be established. You will become who God wants you to be if you practice what you learn. I teach you the formula for a successful life. But unfortunately on this campus, most people given Bible studies should barely be allowed to pray by themselves because they need to learn how to even do that. They speak the word, but they have no knowledge of the word because they've never been taught. You are being taught. So today, I really am tired of church as usual. And you know what? I want you to understand that I am always ready to move on to the next level that God would give me. I never feel like I must be someplace forever. I'll tell you what I feel I must be forever is in the center of His will. Now, in the end, I'm going to close for the first time. I am not wanting to tear down anything, but I am truly desiring to build up everything. And there must be proper teaching in order to build a church of God. Do you think that the disciples just all of a sudden started teaching one day? Or do you believe that they followed Jesus for about 3 years before they taught anything? Then why is it that some people come from across the country here that have never been discipled in any way, and all of a sudden they're allowed to teach? How could it be that they know the truth if they've never been taught the truth? You see, and they don't even go out and never have witnessed unless pastor goes with them, and they go out with them, and then they, of course, show up and do that thing so that they're seen. But by him, not the hurting. I'm going to tell you something, people. God wants to build a church. God wants the people in the church to rise up and help to build the church. But I am here to tell you that this doing business as usual isn't going to work in this church. We're all supposed to be part of an army to go out and win the city. And you know what? It's an unfortunate thing, but ministry is work. Cuts into all your pleasure time, your lounge around time, your carpet potato time, your couch potato time, your all those other things, your sports time, your stand around and talk time. It does. But if you want to be used by God, you are to present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. I'm not picking on anybody in this room, and I'm not picking on anybody in this campus, and I'm not picking on anybody in general. But you know what? We need to rethink the way we think about church and what we should be about in church and how we should think in church and where we've been in our life and where we need to be more than anything in our life. And I'm here to tell you today that it may be because I'm part of a street ministry, or it may just be that I'm telling you the absolute truth of God as you read it in the Bible. See, I don't care. We're supposed to be witnesses. And how can we be a witness if we don't get off our blessed assurances? And you know what? I got as many excuses as anybody in this room if I choose to use them. I know I'm not out on the streets enough. Amen? But if I'm not, then what about the rest of this campus? Did God send people here to learn how to sit in a desk in an office? Or did God send people here to learn how to get out in the streets? But if the people that live here don't get out on the streets, how are they going to teach people that are sitting in offices to get out on the streets? I think that it's time for a shakeup. I think it's time for a Holy Ghost shakeup. And I am going to start praying that God shakes this tree. Not this one, but the big one. And I want to see all the little rotten apples fall out. So that there's room to bring in those that want to be good and healthy fruit. See, people, I love God. And because I love God, it breaks my heart, this city that I live in today. How can you live here? I took a guy last night out witnessing. He's been here over a year, came from Oklahoma. His name is Matthew. He plays the drums in the band, works in the studio. And, you know, he was sitting there telling me about how, forgive me, Lord, I'm going to tell this story. How he'd been on the internet witnessing to a lady that had just broken up with her husband. I go, you fool. That was my first words to him. You fool. Don't you ever be a man in any kind of situation witnessing to a woman that just broke up with her husband. Amen. You fool. Somebody better teach that boy something. Because what's going to happen is there's going to be immediate attention in the wrong direction. Amen. He's such a nice guy. And he is. And his heart is to do right. But where's his teacher? Where's his mentor? Where's his spiritual covering that should be over him, guiding him, leading him, directing him? It is non-existent. And somebody will pay for that. So I took him downtown. I go, what do you do on Wednesday nights? Do you have band practice? No. Well, what do you do on Friday nights? No. I go, come on, get in the car. I'm going to take you for a ride. And we went downtown. And I said, see, this is what this church is about. And I showed him Condo Alley. And then we drove around downtown. And I said, look, all these people are waiting for somebody to come by and show them love. I go, what are you doing? Been here a year. You haven't even been off campus. Do you think church is playing in a band? I woke him up a little bit. And it's going to be my goal to wake everybody up on this campus. The problem is that I'm not operating in proper authority right now. So I am going to work on talking to my pastors as far as working everybody into a place where they are under proper authority and that they are challenged to go do things that are ministry-oriented, whether they work in an office all stinking day or not. And if they don't want to go get their hands dirty, maybe they just need to go home. Amen? Because everybody in this church should be in a place where they are willing and able to go witness to anybody. They should have that desire. That should be part of their life. And if it's not, maybe this is the wrong church for them. And I don't care if they're leaders or laymen. Because ministry is getting out and reaching people. Father, I love you, God. And let it be today that each person just listens to this word and realizes I'm not mad at anybody, God. I am hurt and in pain. But it's not at people. It's at a lack of direction and correction in people's lives. And Lord, if we as leaders in a church can't do these things, then God, I know that your blessings will not rest on us. It is these very things that will make this church great. And we love you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everybody receive this thing in their heart. Amen.